Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com is my friend Tim Legler from ESPN. Legs was on the Milwaukee-Memphis call last night, and he's getting ready to jump on a plane and is nice enough to give us a few minutes here on the Luka Doncic to LA trade. So let's get right to it. Why? Why was he traded to the Lakers?
Well, clearly, Kevin, they saw something on a daily basis that concerned them to such an extent about Lucas's dedication to being the best he can be. That's the only explanation we have so far, unless something comes out down the road that's bigger that no one knows about right now. That's what they're alluding to. And for me, I'm sorry, that's not enough. The guy's 25. He is the best offensive player and probably the most talented player in the history of your organization. And that's not a slight against Dirk Nowitzki and his great career, but Luka Doncic is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. And he's already been to a conference final. He's already been to a final, all of that by the age of 24. And he is a guy that you build your entire franchise around, and you hope to have a guy like that in-house for his entire career. To do this at 25 years old and to really not open up the market even to target, you know, a specific player in Anthony Davis who's in his 30s from that organization and not really try to set yourself up for the next decade the way that you just have the Lakers, I think it's somewhat irresponsible on the part of the Mavericks. And look, I think it's going to go one of two ways. In the next 4 to 5 years, if Luka Doncic doesn't win at least one championship, if not more, if he goes to L.A. and spends 5 years and doesn't win a title, and now he's pushing 30 years old, hasn't won a title, I think some people will say Nico Harrison was justified in doing that. Even if the Mavericks don't win one, you can say, hey, look, they saw something and it hasn't panned out. Luka's not going to reach up to his potential. That's in the next 5 years. Or 50 years from now, we're going to be talking about this as the worst trade in the history of the league, because that means that Luka will have gone to L.A. and won at least one championship, if not more, probably an MVP or more, and it plays out that way. There's just no way you can possibly justify this if that's what happens for Luka Doncic going to the Lakers.
There's something you and I have talked about in the past. In fact, I know we talked about it during the postseason last year because it was driving me nuts. And, you know, you don't love it either. And that is watching sort of, you know, one player, ball dominant, stagnant, offensive basketball. And the fact that, you know, you're not making a defense work, sometimes three to as many as four defensive players essentially don't have to work that hard on a possession. And what that means to, you know, an overall team. Look, they got to the finals last year playing that way. Understood. He's an incredible shot maker, an incredible playmaker for that matter. But I'm wondering if they came to the conclusion that beyond the conditioning and whatever else there is in terms of the intangibles associated with Luka, that they may have made this trade for a basketball reason, that they didn't think they could win the way they played last year. Or at least win it all.
No, I don't. I really don't believe that because, again, you know, you'd already taken this thing to the finals, and you lost to a team that was, you know, unanimously considered the best team in the NBA. That was the deepest team in the league, the most versatile team in the league, certainly the best starting five that the NBA had a year ago in Boston. And so you lose to a superior team, but you think about, this guy already took one team to the conference finals, dragged them by himself in that run, by the way, including dispatching the Phoenix Suns in a game seven on the road in a 40-point blowout that year. You get this team, last year's iteration of the Mavs, to the finals. And basically, look, you're right. It's ball dominant, but he's so good at it, and he's such a force with his ability to beat you as a scorer or a facilitator that I think you could win that way. They just didn't have enough against the Boston Celtics a year ago, and their three-point shooting around him wasn't nearly consistent enough. I thought this team was better than last year's version by adding Klay Thompson, by adding Quentin Grimes. This looked like a team that, like, okay, they addressed their needs. Now let's see what happens. But unfortunately, Luka's injuries just really derailed their season. They're like 7-13 without him. So their season went off the rails with Luka's injuries. But I do believe that this was more about Luka and what they're observing every day in terms of his grinding. Does he come in early? Does that alarm clock go off at 5:30, shows up, and he sets the tone in the building with his commitment to the weight room and conditioning and all of that? And I think they weren't seeing it, and they decided to make this move. I'll tell you one thing. Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd sitting there at that press conference, I don't know how you felt about it, if you watched it.
Yeah, I did.
Jason Kidd didn't look nearly as comfortable as Nico Harrison is. You know, and a couple times Nico Harrison, like, kind of turned and referenced Jason, like, you know, Jason? Like, you know, and he's, like, kind of dragging him into it. Like, he and I are in lockstep here. Jason Kidd didn't come off that way to me. Because, and look, I can tell you this, Kevin. I was in the arena last night in Milwaukee. So I'm talking to Doc Rivers, talking to Taylor Jenkins. Doc Rivers has seen everything there is to see in this league. Taylor Jenkins is one of the great young minds in this league, coaching Memphis. And both of them said basically their jaw hit the table when they saw that this trade happened. And Doc Rivers said there's just, you know, to give up on a guy that's 25 years old, and Taylor Jenkins, same thing. He said he couldn't believe even what he was looking at when that message came into his phone. So this is what we're talking about. This is a like seismic move by the Dallas Mavericks that could have repercussions for years to come. And by the way, you just answered the problem the Lakers had post-LeBron. They didn't know what they were going to do. What was the organization going to look like? Who are they going to build it around going forward when LeBron retires, maybe after next year? Well, they just answered that problem for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, the shock around the league tells you that there's got to be something we don't know that Dallas does, or they just made the worst trade in the history of the league.
Well, I'll take it a step further, and I just got asked this question on Get Up this morning. I, for me personally, and I'm 58 years old, I've been around a long time and following pro sports, old enough to be aware for, 40 years. And I think this could possibly, depending again, how it plays out for Luka. It doesn't even matter to me how it plays out for the Mavericks. What if they win a championship this year, which I don't think they will? Okay. Does that mean Nico Harrison was justified? Well, how do you know you wouldn't have won it with Luka? That's the problem he's going to have. This entire thing is going to be judged by what success Luka Doncic has in his career going forward. And if he has success in L.A. and he wins in L.A., then this is not only going to go down as the worst trade in the history of the NBA. This is going to be one of the worst trades in the history of any of the four major sports ever, period. Any player, any time, any era, any generation. If that happens, if it doesn't happen, if he does not win a championship, at least one, if not more, in L.A., in the time that he's there, or at some point in his career going forward, then Nico Harrison eventually could have the last laugh. And that's whether they win a championship in Dallas or not. Because then he would have been like, you know what? He actually was on top of this and got ahead of it early. The only thing I'll say is this, Kevin. They didn't target enough teams.
Exactly.
You gotta try to get a mid-20 something back. And so let's just take real quickly a look at who I'm talking about. Some of these guys are untouchable. You're not getting Wemby. You're not getting Jokic. You're not getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and you're not getting Giannis. I don't think those four guys, those organizations would even consider it. But what about that next level of player that falls into this category? What about Jason Tatum? Who knows? Maybe Boston makes the move, and you get Tatum. They throw in another starter or a top rotation guy, plus picks. Maybe you target Anthony Edwards.
Right.
Maybe you target Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs, Jonathan Isaac, and picks. because I just don't think they got enough. That's why I think that's it's one level. People are viewing this on one level. They're just shocked that a guy like this would ever be available. But the second layer to the shock is, well, wait a second. Why didn't they open this up to the whole league? Because who knows who would have picked up the phone if you're talking about Luka Doncic. And it doesn't sound like they did that. So that's what I think the second level to this is. That's what you got back? Like, Anthony Davis is a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's in his 30s, and he's not like the guy you build everything around. So that's what you had to get back in return. The next decade. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, I guess the only argument would be that the only way they wanted to make this deal was in stealth mode so that if it didn't happen, Luka didn't know about it. But to your point, it's like, yes, maybe Nico Harrison down the road has sort of a last giggle if he doesn't win in L.A., and maybe Dallas does win one. He still didn't get enough back in the moment when the trade was made.
Very true. And like that's the thing that confused me about Nico Harrison's statement yesterday at the press conference when he basically said they addressed their needs to win now. And I'm going, wow, really? Like, why? Why we have to win now, like in the next 2 to 3 years? I don't understand that. And he said, and also the future. And he, by the way, defined the future as 4 years. Yeah. I just don't understand the short-sightedness of that thinking when you have a guy like Luka, and he's the most dominant offensive force in the league.
Even Ron Rivera wouldn't say that. He'd say 5 years.
That's what I'm saying.
But from a Dallas perspective, do you think they have a chance this year with, by the way, a defensive back line of Davis and Gafford that will be pretty impressive?
The answer to that is yes. Are they in the mix? They absolutely are in the mix. You've just added Anthony Davis, who is one of the best 2-way players in this league, and you know, a different way that they can run their offense. You still have Kyrie Irving, who's a top-shelf offensive talent. You've got the role players you mentioned. Anthony Davis doesn't want to play four. Well, he's not going to have to there. You got Gafford and Lively next to him. You got P.J. Washington. You got Klay Thompson. You've got shooting around them. So the answer to that question is yes, they're in the mix. Now, here's ultimately what I believe. I think Oklahoma City is not only the best team in the West, I think they're the best team in the NBA. And yeah. I expect them to win the Western Conference. So, you know, but here's the thing. No, Dallas is right now, I mean, they're basically just slightly above 500. So they've got a lot of digging out to do to position themselves in a way where they're not going on the road for 3 rounds in the West. And if they do that, they're not surviving that. They might lose in the first round if that's the case, depending on what the matchup is. But are they in the mix? Yeah. Like, this isn't like, okay, they got rid of Luka, so now the Mavericks now, you know, are a bottom feeder team in the West. No, that's not the case at all. I absolutely agree with anybody who says, hey, in the moment, maybe they even have a better chance this year. That's possible because Anthony Davis is that good. But that's not what you make this move about. That's not what this can be about with a guy that's 25 years old that's this good. He is top of the food chain in this league.
Yeah.
And you had him in-house. And here's the other thing. Like, it's so hard to get a guy like that, and they lucked into it. They didn't even draft him
right.
Number one.
Right, exactly.
He fell into their lap.
Well, yeah, like so Giannis. This happens in the league, right? Giannis, you know, Kawhi at one point. They're not Jokic in the second round. It just happens that way sometimes. But to your point, it's not like they planned on it.
No, it's not like you tanked to get him, right? There was strategy involved. No, the draft came up. You know, DeAndre Ayton goes to Phoenix with the first pick. Luka's there. Luka ends up, Trae Young's in that draft. Luka ends up here. And for Luka, you now end up with this guy that's even better than they ever could have imagined. And look, I understand, man. He's got some stuff that drives me crazy, too.
Yeah.
He's not committed defensively.
He's the all-time whiner. The all-time whiner.
He hurts them in transition because of the way he jogs back on defense after he turns the ball over because he's having a discussion with a referee for 40 feet up the court. Like, there's things about him that drive me nuts. But, you know, so here's what happened to me. They have had him now, finally, 6 years, 6, 7 years, however long he's been in Dallas. And I guess they just reached a point. where they finally came to the conclusion, he's never going to get it. He's never going to improve around the margins in these specific areas to give us a chance to max out who this guy is. And so, therefore, we're gonna just wash our hands of him altogether. And I just, look, maybe at 28, 29.
Right.
If it's still, yes. And even then, by the way, the guy's still in his prime. But at 25, that is where the shock is coming from around the league. And it's in every single circle of the NBA. It's the same exact reaction.
You know, the Anthony Davis thing with the Mavericks, I kind of agree with you. Like, I think they have a chance. The problem, of course, is he's got to be on the floor for them to have a chance. So we'll see if that happens. With the Lakers, and let's finish up with that. How, I mean, we asked this question about Kyrie and Luka. How do Luka and LeBron play together?
I have absolutely no idea, and I can't wait to see it. Because here's the thing, that's you're adding a guy that is the most ball-dominant player in the NBA to a team with LeBron James. So look, now I want to see exactly how that's supposed to work. Because the one thing I will say about Luka, it's not like he's going to buy in to some of the action that the Lakers run now for like Austin Reeves. It's Luka. It does not, is not the primary option on a given possession. It's the same thing in Dallas. Like, there were times, certainly, you know, give the ball to Kyrie. Hey, man, this is your possession. So obviously, if he's out of the game, but even when he's on the court with Kyrie, he'd say, okay, this is Kyrie, it's your turn. He'd throw it to him coming up the court. You take it. But you know what Luka would do on those possessions? He would go over to the opposite side of the floor and basically stand there with his hands on his hips. Because that's the way the guy wants to play. And so now with LeBron, like, these two guys, like, spotting up off of each other, I want to see it. And here's what I will say about the Lakers, their perspective on this. I don't think they put one second credence into what this does with their ability to win right now for LeBron James. Yeah. I don't think that's factored into it at all. This was an organizational decision where they have been looking at, they just hired a young coach, first job in J.J. Redick. They knew they had LeBron for a couple of years or however long he wants to play. And then it's going to be, what do we do after that? And this just solved it. This is what this was about, man. It's the next decade for the Lakers, because you can always go out and try to find the right pieces around your cornerstone player. They just got that player. And that's really what this entire thing was about. So even if the Lakers don't win in the remainder of LeBron James' career, I just don't think that's something that the Lakers really are going to sweat. This is about the future, and that's what they were trying to address, and they did it. And they didn't, to me, have to give up all that much, because you're giving up a guy that's already won one for you. He's in his 30s. That's not the kind of thing where people go, wow, they really emptied the cupboard to get this guy.
Right.
Now what do you do? That's not what they had to do. And so that's what this is about for the Lakers. It's not about now. But to answer your question, I want to see it as much as anybody. I want to see what this looks like. Because the only thing I'll tell you about Luka, day one, he walks in that locker room and he idolizes LeBron. He's admitted that. He walks in that locker room the very first day. Luka walks in like, okay, it's my team now. That's who Luka Doncic is.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to do, and that's how he's going to carry himself, and that's how he's going to play. And it's going to be a massive adjustment for everybody there, including LeBron. And by the way, I want to see LeBron's reaction to some of the things that Luka will tend to do defensively that they're going to probably drive LeBron nuts.
Right.
It is interesting.
Well, both of them will be on one side of the court arguing a call, and it's 5-on-3 on the other end.
There's no doubt. I'll tell you one thing that surprised me a little bit. LeBron, you know, is one of only two players in the league with a no-trade clause, and this was reported yesterday by people inside his circle that he's not gonna waive that. He's gonna stay with the Lakers. Like, he won't waive it this year, because there was speculation yesterday, the people I was talking to, that maybe this is not something palatable to LeBron at all. And he ends up going to the Lakers and saying, look, I'm going to waive my no trade. Get me out of here before the deadline and send me wherever. He'd have his short list of teams, too. People were wondering if that was going to happen. Now, LeBron seemed to have addressed that, if that's true. And look, you still have a few days here before, or not 2 days before that, you know, comes to fruition. The trade deadline's Thursday at 3 o'clock. So he's got a couple days to change his mind on that. But it sounds like he is willing to stay there and at least see what this looks like with Luka. And we're all fascinated to see. And we might not see that, by the way, till after the break, because Luka still hasn't come back from his injury.
Well, that's information that would fly in the face of, well, of course, LeBron signed off on this.
Well, apparently, listen, the people I talked to yesterday are insisting that, and I'm talking to people that spoke to Rich Paul, insist that they did not know anything about this. And when LeBron James said he was out to dinner in New York after they beat the Knicks in the Garden, yeah, and got the news at dinner when he was with his family, apparently that's true. And, you know, this, it also apparently is true that when they called the Lakers, like Rob Pelinka was like, what now? Who's available? Like, he was just as surprised.
Well, that means that they were really targeting Anthony Davis. If they made that call and it was to just one team and it was in stealth mode, they wanted Anthony Davis back.
There's no question. You can't possibly keep secret that Luka Doncic is available. There's no way that could stay secret. And everybody's shocked. You saw Luka Doncic's father's reaction?
Yeah,
I don't know if you caught any of that.
Yeah.
Like, angry, hurt. Luka obviously shocked by this. Really haven't heard anything from him other than the letter that probably his camp wrote to the Dallas fans. But we still haven't really heard from him. We haven't heard from LeBron. So all of that's going to play out here over the next day or two. And you're going to hear, whether it's today or tomorrow, you're going to hear from the principals involved in this. And that, I think, like I said, the people that around the league, that's their biggest question about this. How do you not, if you have this player, how do you not open that up to the entire league? There's no telling what someone was willing to give you for Luka Doncic.
And look, the Lakers still have dry powder left, you know, much more than they should have had left to do something before the deadline to maybe add to the team this year. I mean, they clearly need a big now. Now, do you think they'll do something before Thursday?
They have to add some size. There's no question about it. But, you know, and look, Milwaukee, I think, needs size too. And you know, we were talking with Doc Rivers last night, and he basically was saying, you know, what's really out there to be had? And I think that's probably the feeling most teams have about bigs. You can get a serviceable big. You're not going to get, I think, a major difference maker, but you certainly can't roll the rest of the year with Jackson Hayes as your only center, you know, at Coloco. Like, that's not going to get it done. So they'll add something. I don't know if there's another move to be had. What's interesting about this is just, like, other pieces around the league and other dominoes, because Kevin Durant summed it up best yesterday. He said, this says that all of us are available.
Right.
And he's right. If Luka Doncic is available, every single player in this league is available, with the exception probably of Nikola Jokic. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I don't think, would be available. I don't think Giannis would be available. Am I forgetting anybody?
Edwards, maybe Anthony Edwards?
No, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Like, look, you're probably right.
SGA, Giannis, and Jokic. That's the list.
And Wemby. Victor Wemby.
Oh, and Wembanyama, of course. Yeah. And Alex Saar.
Alex Saar. That's absolutely right.
All right.
That's the short list.
I know you've got to run. Thank you so much for doing this. Legs and I talked football last week, and I haven't talked to you since the championship game. But still, you know, it's been a week now, you know. Hell of a season.
It's a shame it ended that way, obviously, but it took me about a week to get over my anger over it, just because it was the Eagles.
Yeah.
And I had to listen to all that from my friends who were Eagles fans, so that made it harder. But the bottom line is, it's almost going to taste sweeter. It would have been too fast to happen this year.
I
like
fast.
The progression. Let's build up to this.
You were caught off guard. We all were.
I wasn't ready for it, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to play in a lot of big games with this quarterback.
All right, great job. Thanks. Appreciate it, as always.
All right, man. You got it.
Tim Legler, everybody. Always great, and I appreciate him jumping on with us because he was heading to the airport. We moved the conversation to football and other things. My voice just cracked when I said that. Josh Harris is going to hold a season-ending press conference at 11:30. What would you like to hear from him? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What are you hoping to hear from the owner of the team at 11:30? Also, I've got some news from over the weekend that maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't. that Washington ended up blocking a coaching move. We'll discuss that as well. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. What do you want to hear from Josh Harris when he begins his press conference, which we will carry live here on the Team 980 at 11:30?